First John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 reads, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." Amen. On last time, we focused on verses 1 through 3, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And we said our main point from the text was God has shown his love for Christians by receiving them into his family, and Christians must demonstrate that they are of his family by practicing righteousness. And we made a number of application points. We said that Christians must recognize just how much the Father loves them. Next, we said that Christians must recognize that the love of God for them means that they are indeed the children of God. Thirdly, we said that Christians must not expect recognition from the world. Then we said Christians must recognize that they will be like Christ when he appears. And finally, we said that Christians must recognize that since they are the children of God, that they must purify themselves from all sin. And most importantly, keep this last point in mind again, that Christians must recognize that since they are the children of God, that they must purify themselves from all sin. And the other point, again, our main point from that text was, again, highlighting the point of practicing righteousness. And the reason why I say keeping those two things in mind as we transition now to verses 4 through 6 and really verses 4 through 10, and only because I say 4 through 10, because even though we're dealing with verses 4 through 6 today, next week we'll pick up with verses 7 through 10. This is one sermon, two parts, and the other part, again, we'll finish up next week. But our main point from the text, true Christians do not practice sin.
Amen.
Main point, true Christians do not practice sin. Three application points here, taken from our text. First, Christians must recognize that to practice sin is to be one who disregards the laws of God. Secondly, Christians must remember that the Holy Lord Jesus came to take away sin. Therefore, they should not continue in sin. And finally, Christians must recognize that those who continue in sin do not know Jesus. And so we'll see, as far as our application point, how we got there from our text. And so opening up in verse 4, John says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." John starts us off with everyone who makes this practice of sinning. Notice he says everyone, and then he goes on to describe this action, this habitual sinning, not just the issue of whether or not someone sins. This is not John's point to say that someone who simply sin is the issue. And the reason why we can know that John is not simply dealing with the issue of, let's just say, someone that happens to sin on occasion, or let's just say it's not this habitual sin, that he's making a distinction. If you for a moment go back to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and look at verses 8 and verse 9. Notice what John says. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And even if we look at verse 10, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So obviously, John is not here simply saying that you, if someone sins, is the issue. But notice the point he's making here. If anyone makes a practice of sinning, this habitual sinning, you know that it is sin, and here you are continually walking in that sin. That's a problem. He says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Well, John, what's your point? Well, notice how I phrase our first application point. Christians must recognize that to practice sin is to be one who disregards the law, the laws of God. John says this person, or anyone and everyone who's making a practice of sinning is making a practice of lawlessness. What you are doing in your walking in this habitual sin, you are practicing your sin. What you are saying to God is, God, I'm not going to do your word. I'm not going to pay attention to your laws. I'm going to do my own thing. And my own thing means that I'm not getting ready to submit to your laws, Lord. And keep in mind what John is doing and has constantly done. He has constantly shown us throughout this book that, okay, you have the people of God who are going to walk in the light and do the right thing. And you're going to have these people who are going to walk in the darkness and be of the darkness and do unrighteousness. You got your two categories. You got your distinctions here. You got the people who are going to live right, the people of God who are going to submit to God's law and do what's right. And then you have the people that's going to do wrong, whether they claim to be of God or not. You know, you still have people who claim to be of God and are still living in the sin and doing the dirt and still of darkness. And even though we haven't gotten there yet, you're going to even see when John comes to verse 8 in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Again, you're going to see this separation, this distinction. But here John starts us off again with just making the point, whoever or everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. This is what they are doing. So we cannot get away from this very straightforward point that this person that is constantly doing the wrong, the person that says, yes, I know it's wrong. I know this against God's word, but yes, I'm going to continue to do that which I know to be wrong. And John says, you are practicing lawlessness. You're, as Jesus would say, you are still a slave to sin. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Practicing sin, practicing lawlessness. No, we're not perfect people. We're not these people that say that we don't fall short of God's standards, that at times we recognize that there are things we have to ask for forgiveness, that we sin. As we've already read in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So we don't claim that we don't have sin, or that we haven't messed up, or that we haven't done wrong, or that we don't need to ask for forgiveness. In acknowledging that, we're also not acknowledging that we are ones who are out here practicing sin. I cannot be one who, here I am claiming to be a child of God, and then I'm going to say, yes, you know what? I'm a child of God, and I love God, and I'm getting ready to not only am I an adulterer, but I'm going to practice my adultery and think that that's okay. And you see, people are very bold with their not only confession of their sins, but their practice of their sins and their unrepentant nature in regards to the sin. When I say unrepentant nature, meaning they don't feel that they have to repent. They feel that they are still right with God while they are practicing the sin. I find this interesting in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. It says, For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. If you go on deliberately sinning after receiving the knowledge of truth, yes, I know. So just imagine again, here's the individual telling you, yes, I know it's wrong, and yes, I'm going to continue to do this. That's why John comes back and makes the point again, well, you're practicing lawlessness. God's word says, don't do it. You say, I'm going to do it. Or God's word says to do it. You say, I'm not going to do it. That's lawlessness. And notice how John, in a sense, defines sin at the end of verse 4 there. Sin is lawlessness. You know, some of the classic definitions of sin, when you start to look it up, you see that the word would mean to miss the mark. Again, some would say point out that it means transgress God's law. But you see here, as far as, and this is what John is getting at with the transgression of his laws, sin is lawlessness. Think about it. At the end of the day, regardless of how the world wants to define sin and how the world maybe want to make light of sin or to frame sin in this way for them or that way, at the end of the day, for the Christian, sin is whenever I'm doing that which is against God's word, against his will, well, I'm sinning. God's laws, God's words tell me to do this, and I say I'm not going to do that. Or again, here it is where I'm looking to go against what his word says. Well, John says that's sin, that's lawlessness. God's word tells you to do one thing, you do another. That's a problem. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, Paul says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Notice the difference between the Christian and what we just read, that John made the point in 1 John chapter 1 at the end. Not 1 John chapter 1, but in 1 John chapter 3 from last week or last time, he says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Well, the Christian, the person that is truly of God, well, he purifies himself. He does what is right, right? He knows that which is wrong, and he does not seek to do that which is wrong. He practices righteousness. And this is even taking us back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Notice what it says. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See the differences again. You got those that's going to practice the righteousness, and you got these who want to practice the sin, who practice the lawlessness. Verse 5. John says, you know that he appeared. John says, do you know that he appeared in order to take away sins? In him, there is no sin. So the very purpose of the Lord Jesus coming was to address the issue of sin. He died for our sins. So then you can see John's logic here. You can see his reasoning. Wait, so if Jesus Christ has come for the purpose of addressing our sins, to take away our sins, then why would we continue in sin? That doesn't make sense. That's foolish. I'm going to deliberately walk in sin knowing that Jesus Christ has came and died for my sin? Now that goes against his purpose. He came to cleanse me. He came to make me right and holy. And then if you also notice about this verse, and in him there is no sin. So if, and you remember we've said this, it says he is righteous, since he is pure, then we are called to be righteous and pure. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. As our application point says, Christians must remember that the holy Lord Jesus came to take away sin. Therefore, they should not continue in sin. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we do that? He came to take away our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he, God, made him to be sin, talking about Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He knew no sin, but he came sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. And so if he's done that for me, this perfect holy one, am I now going to continually walk in sin? The very one who has came and died on the cross for my sin, I'm going to now tell him, yes, I thank you that you have died on the cross for my sins. And now what I'm going to do in gratitude of you dying on the cross for my sins, let me continue to indulge in the very things that you died for. To free me from, to cleanse me from, let me continue to do this. And some people, again, are bold enough to say, well, I'm going to continue to do it. And there's going to come a time when I'm ready to stop. But I'm not ready to stop now. I'm going to continue to do my dirt. I'm going to continue to practice my sin now because I'm not ready to let it go. Not yet. And they want to believe that they're cleansed from their sins. They want to believe that they have this relationship with God. Matter of fact, we're going to get to that in verse 6, though. But right now, we're still dealing with verse 5 and knowing that he appeared to take away our sins. It's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So the way that they would have it to this scripture to read, those that want to continue to practice their sin, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might live to sin and continue to live with unrighteousness. That's crazy. And you see how John again continues to make this point. You can see how for him, it's very clear cut. It's not this gray area for John where we want to make it as though, well, certainly we should be able to still, as Christians, say that we love God and that we are a part of God's kingdom and that we're going to heaven, and still we should be able to continue to walk in darkness. We should be able to continue to live in unrighteousness. We should be able to continue to practice or habitually walk in sin. John says, no, you cannot do it. It doesn't line up. It doesn't add up. He has come to take away our sin. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the scriptures reads, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus takes away the sin of the world, and you want to continue to walk in the sin that he came to take away. And you believe that this is all right. No, it's not all right. Him who has no sin, this holy and righteous one, came and paid the price for our sins so that we would live a life of righteousness. Not a life of habitual sin. Not a life that says, okay, Lord, no one is perfect, so let me continue to do my dirt. Let me continue to live in sin because none of us are perfect but the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's not the thought of the Christian. Hebrews. Just a few passages from Hebrews, still dealing with Jesus Christ and him not taking away our sins. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. After making purification for sins. Just two others from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Lord Jesus Christ, came and did this for us. One other one again from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. You know, as John says here, 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sin. You know this, or you should know this. Scripture after scripture tells you this is what he came to do, to take away sin. And also, you know that he has no sin in him. You should know that. So then, how can you continue to practice sin? True Christians, notice my main point again, true Christians do not practice sin. No, we practice righteousness, as 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says. No, we purify ourselves, as 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says. We don't habitually walk in sin. And that's not us claiming to be perfect again. It's not us lifting ourselves up over others. It's not us feeling like, oh, we are holier than thou. And we're these, again, people who don't mess up, and these people who don't slip, and the people who don't miss the mark. Yes, we do. But we are not these people who continually walk in sin. Cannot be. And notice we get to verse 6 here. John says, no one. Again, you see John with this everyone and now with this no one. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one. John, it seems to me, John, you're using some absolute language. It doesn't seem to me, John, that you should be able to say no one and everyone. But this is the language John is using. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning, again, no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Application point. Christian must recognize that those who continue to sin do not know Jesus. Whether they're a family member, your loved one, whether it's a pastor, whether or not it's this person, that person, I don't care what their status is. I don't care what they claim. If you are telling me that you are practicing sin and that you say you know Jesus, because if you look at the language here, this is really what he's getting at when he says seen him or known him. You don't know Jesus Christ. So don't tell me, oh, I know the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. And I have this relationship with the Lord. And yet, even though I'm walking in sin, even though I'm doing this, even though I'm in this backslidden condition, I'm still doing this, still doing that. Yes, I know the Lord. No, you don't. This is what John says. We've talked about this abiding or remaining in him before. If you, for a moment, you don't have to turn here, but even if I've mentioned to you in John chapter 15 and verses 4 through 7, where Jesus talks about the abiding, and he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But you have to abide. You have to remain in him. You have to do his will. You have to be in him. You can't be this person that disregards the laws of God and believe that you know him. Again, haven't we seen John make this point earlier? For instance, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Go back there for a moment. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Notice what John says there. He says, and by this we know, we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, that seems very much like what I just said here as far as this person who wants to claim that they know him, have seen him, but you are one who is sinning and keeps on sinning. John says, no, you don't know him. No. As a matter of fact, John is going to say eventually in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, he's going to say, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So you see how I keep coming back to this main point of our text here. True Christians do not practice sin. If you're remaining in him, as the text says there, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. If you are abiding in him, there's no way you can continue to do this. You cannot practice the sin. And as I said before, we've seen John talk about this abiding. So for instance, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, he says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. You see also the abide in him in verse 27. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. John, the Apostle John, the Bible, God, Jesus Christ, whatever way we want to say it, does not allow the Christian ever to believe that you can be identified as this Christian and continually walk in sin. You cannot simply blame it on or justify your action by simply saying, we all fall short. No one is perfect. God knows my heart. It's not my time yet, but I still love the Lord. Whatever the excuse, whatever the justification is, it does not line up with the scriptures. The scriptures do not allow this justification for continually practicing sin. And I do want to acknowledge again that we are making the point that we're not proclaiming perfection, but we are saying that sin no longer has mastery over us. Sin does not make me walk in it. I've been freed from the power of sin. So again, how can I walk in it if I've been freed from it? I'm abiding in Christ. So you mean to tell me in my abiding in Jesus Christ, I'm getting ready now to abide in sin also? Cannot be. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law, but under grace. That's Romans 6, 14. And then he says in Romans 6, 17 and 18, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. So if I'm a slave of righteousness. If I'm one who, again, looking at 1 John 3, 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. Because again, I'm freed from the sin. I'm in Christ now. This Lord Jesus Christ who came to take away my sin, who has no sin in him, and now I'm abiding in him. John says, I cannot keep on sinning. And then he says, no one again who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So for the person that believes that they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are going to spend eternity in heaven, all the while they are continuing in sin, habitually sin and practicing sin, they are deceived. They are in having some type of delusion about their true spiritual identity, because the scripture again does not allow us to have this practice of sin in our life, if we are truly a Christian, that when I have come to truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, if I have truly placed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of sin has been broken in my life. It is no longer master over me. I am freed from it. So when I stumble in sin, when I mess up in sin, I can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me. I can move on from that sin. I do not have to continually practice or walk in that sin and feel as though that is something now that is to be identified with the Christian life. No. You cannot practice sin and be a true Christian. The scripture again does not allow it. Amen? Amen. Let us stand.